Well, this morning we're going back in our teaching. We're dealing the areas of divine healing. We're going to look at something maybe a little bit different here, but there's things we need to see and understand about how God ministers to people, what God does. And this is one of the things that I've just been looking through all these different things that the Lord's been showing me. And it's one of the things that He wants us to do is we looked at these personal examples of people being healed and delivered. We look at these is because we found one common thread within them. Faith was involved. And God leading people into faith. But we want to keep looking at those because we need to see this continually. So when you think of healing, you automatically go over to think of the thoughts about using your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. In other words, it is not possible. It is not possible to please God without faith. It isn't possible. And see, it needs to come to you to that idea. Today, and I've said this many times, many people don't even know what faith is. They just say, well, I'm trusting God. Well, how are you trusting God? Explain to me what you're doing to trust God. See, when you tell you say you're in faith, you need to explain to yourself, well, what am I doing? It proves I'm in faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. What evidence do you have? What do you have? See, faith, the Bible tells us what faith is. Number one, Smith Wigglesworth used to say this. He said, faith is an act. There's things that you do. If you're in faith, then there's things you're doing. There's things that go along with faith. One of the things is confession. What are you saying? Well, you know, I'm trusting God to take care of me, but the doctor said, I'm going to have to go through this for... Well, that was your confession. You know you're not. You're trusting the doctor. Let's get real. Your confession was, I'm going to have what the doctor said. So, see, we need to get out. People say a lot about, I'm trusting God, and then they make some confession about the problem ain't going away. And see, we need to get over where we get things lined up properly, get lined up to where what the Word of God says. Now, I want to look today at an area in Mark, the 9th chapter. We're going over to Mark. We're going to look at an example here where it's a story that's just, it's very, probably most of us, especially you read the Scriptures, and especially us here, we probably, you know, would have heard the story. But we want to look through in these things because there's some specific things that we need to pick out here. Because, number one, understand this, Jesus' ministry. We talked about it before and said about it. Jesus' ministry, He said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. So when we look at Jesus' ministry, we're looking exactly what God the Father would do. Well, we know this. Jesus never made anybody sick, so we know this. God ain't making people sick. Or if He does make people sick, and He never showed it, then Jesus, you know, God had Jesus in a fraudulent ministry, and we can't look at Jesus as a good example of what God's like, could we? So one of the things we know, when Jesus ministered to people, it's how God would minister to people. So this is why it's important for us to look at these examples, because this is how God does things. And you need to know how God does things. Most people, I was born and raised in church, and I was, well, God can do anything He wants. No, He cannot. God will never violate His word. If He does, He's a liar. God never violates His word. God set Himself in the boundaries of His word. It's just like with us. If your word's no good, you're no good. It's that simple. If you don't keep your word and your word don't mean nothing, I mean, what are people going to call you? Well, see, if God is some God that can just go do anything He wants, we can't trust His word, so He's no good. He's not doing anything He wants. He gave us a book that tells us what He wants and what He does and how He acts and what He's like. And they're given specifically to us so you can have a pattern of what He's like so you know what to expect. That's the purpose. And so we want to look at this as Jesus' ministry here in Mark the 9th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 14. It says, when He came down to the disciples, says, He saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whatever he seizes him, throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. They could not. Now I just want to stop. What we do is we see, and this is an important thing to do. Number one, he said he has a mute spirit. In other words, this young man couldn't talk. But we find out he also has what it seems like epileptic seizures. But we're going to find out in this incident, and this is one of the things that I want you to understand, and this is why, you know, over the years I've seen people, you know, write books and they say, well, if you have this manifestation, it's this spirit, and this manifestation, that spirit. We need to understand this. Just like with epilepsy, epilepsy could be a demonic spirit dealing with a person. They can have it, just like with this. He falls, foams at the mouth, all that kind of stuff. Well, epileptic seizures people have are like that. Sometimes a person may have a medical condition. They can have some problem with their brain or something like that that causes them to do that. And there's not specifically a demon involved. This incident there is. And this is why you must be led by the Spirit of God. You know, a fact that a person could be mute because they have a medical problem, or a person could be mute because they have a demonic problem. This is why there is no canned answers to these things. The church, this is why, if you can't be led by the Spirit, you're never going to operate as a son of God. This is why Jesus operated well as the Son of God, because he was led by the Spirit in things. He didn't minister the same way all the time, did he? This has been one of the great problems in the church world today. And this is one of the great problems, that even when people are led by the Spirit, have a hard time ministering to other people, because people religiously have their idea how they ought to be ministered to, and therefore you can't minister to them. They won't yield by faith. They want it done a certain way, and that's it. I want it this way. You know, we see from the scriptures, we have the prophet Elisha was ministering to Naaman. You know, he came out and told him to go dip in the Jordan. And he said, man, he expected this prophet to go out and wave his hand over him and do something. That's what he wanted done. See, he had his idea. But he had a servant that was smarter than him. And thank God he listened to the servant. He said, the servant said to him, you know, if he'd have told you to do some great big deal of event or something, you'd have done it. But he said, he asked you to do a little thing like this. And it's, you know, basically he said, it seems to be, you know, beneath you. You know, you ought to obey this. You got to learn to do that is when you come. Lots of times when people come to be ministered to, they have no humility. You got to humble yourself, hallelujah, and, you know, let God minister to you. You come with preconceived ideas, you'll shut off the Spirit of God and what He wants to do. Now, we're going to find out here in this event. So, this man tells, he said, your disciples couldn't cast him out. They couldn't do it. And now I want you to see this, because Jesus makes a statement here, and I want you to see the statement he made, because he's going to tell the reason why this thing ain't working. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Now Jesus stopped. So what is the problem here with this? It's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. Now, Jesus is going to deal with this faith problem. He's going to deal with the faith problem. And you need to understand. See, this is one thing. And we're going to find this out as we go down through this. You can't run around casting spirits out of people who, just because they have a problem or something and you know there's a spirit. They have to get, just like with this instance, we're going to find out this guy has to get in faith. We're going to find out he has to get in faith. See, many people, they want something. You know, God isn't moved because you want something. God is moved by faith. Faith causes reward, not need. Not need. Need doesn't cause reward. Great need don't cause reward. Reward comes by faith. And what's Jesus disgusted at? He's disgusted at this faithless people he has to put up with. I would believe he would say that to the American, even spirit-filled church today. He would say faithlessness is one of the worst problems that we got. We've learned all kinds of things about the Bible, but we're not living it. You know, as Randall Greer made the statement, he said a pastor's wife said to him, you know, he got these people, they come around, he said he read five different new books to try to get a new revelation, and he said, you can't even get them to act on one scripture in the Bible. See, that's a lot of people. People gaining knowledge, gaining knowledge, gaining knowledge, and they got heads this big, walking around, talking all the faith stuff like they got all the lingo down right, and can't get anything from God. The whole thing is getting something from God. That's what it is. And it's the simplicity of faith. And so we want to look at this, as Jesus says concerning this guy. Because his son has a problem, and he wants his son to be delivered. Jesus is not happy about what's going on here. It says, then they brought him to him. They brought Jesus to this son. It says, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Do you notice one thing here? I always find it interesting with Jesus. See, Jesus didn't do what 99.9% of people would do. He didn't immediately jump and pray and start casting out just because he saw a manifestation. See, this is one of the big things is where people miss it most of the time. You know, the scripture tells us don't lay hands on any man suddenly. In other words, you don't be so moved by things, what looks good or don't look good or whatever it is. You know, listen on the inside of what's going on. Jesus don't jump just because he sees this guy's foam at the mouth, and I am sure that guy was standing there looking, why don't he do something? I know you've never done that. You know, I just why don't he do something? Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus wasn't moved. You know, with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. You don't say through faith and prayer, you inherit the promise. There's been a lot of worthless prayers going on out here. People have prayed and they had no patience. They're just throwing it out there trying to get something to happen. And they bypassed faith. You never want to bypass that. Well, it says, so he asked the father, how long has he been like us? He said, it's from a child. He said, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, he said, have compassion on us and help us. Well, if you can do anything, come on, God, have compassion on me. Do something, you know, do something for us. Jesus didn't stop and say, well, look, just I'm going to be so merciful and I'm just going to do this. He don't. He says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, how many people believe Jesus had compassion? I believe we see time and time again, Jesus had compassion on people, healed them and stuff. But compassion in itself, see, people think God's merciful, and this is where the theories come along. Well, if God wants you to be well, you'll be well. If God don't, he won't. He just throws this thing out here. Jesus laid a statement out here that's absolutely phenomenal that most of the church world don't believe at all. I mean, if we believe it, it's just a tiny bit. He said all things are possible to him that believes. He didn't say some things. He didn't say a lot of things. He said all things are possible to him that believe. But I want you to look at the other side of the coin. Nothing from his standpoint, he said, all things are possible. But if you're in unbelief, you don't have any place to stand, then anything will happen for you. You don't have a place to stand. All things are possible to him who believes. So we know this. Jesus is making a statement. This guy says, I brought this to your disciples. Jesus now is dealing with a guy, and it's one of the things you find out. This guy wasn't operating in faith. He wants his son delivered. He wants somebody else to do it. I'm not believing in it. I have no faith in this thing. You're just supposed to do it because you're Jesus' disciple. You're supposed to make it happen. Oh, loads of people live in that camp. Loads of Christian, loads of Spirit-filled people live in that camp. That's why they never get delivered. That's why, because they're always expecting it, somebody else to do it. This is what, the average Christian will run to somebody they think has big faith that can get it to them. That's what most people go to prayer chains for. They go to call, get a prayer, pray for me. They're looking for somebody to do for them what they're not doing. Jesus didn't tell this guy, well, just stand back. Just stand back. I'll take care of this thing. He said, no, you've got to get some believing. You've got to get something in this game. You've got to get in it. You're not in it. You've got to get in it. And you need to understand that for yourself. You need to get in it. A lot of people don't. They say, well, I believe God can heal. Big what? So what? You believe God can heal. What does that produce? Nothing. Will he do it for you? I don't know. Maybe Benny Hinn can get it for me. Maybe somebody else. Maybe I can call so-and-so and they'll get it for me. Maybe somebody else. We're going to look for somebody. Jesus, directly. I mean, just think of this. I mean, Jesus, his son's there in one of his convulsing, doing all this stuff. Jesus is stopping and he's doing a little faith teaching. I found as a minister, that's one of the hardest things, because when people are having problems, they just want you to pray. They just want you to pray. They don't want to listen to no faith teaching. They don't want to listen to that. Just pray and make it go away. And you know what? It almost never works. That's why Kenneth Hagin said to a minister's conference, to hundreds of ministers, he said, you pastors out there, he said, you're not going to get most of your people healed. Because he said, they're not going to do what they need to do to be healed. Now, people don't like to hear those, but I decided a long time ago, I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to be in the crowd of the good healed. I'm not going to be with the knuckleheads. I'm not playing in that game. I'm not going to play the religious. And we need to understand it, because you get these religious ways of thinking. People have their religious ideas. Man, we want to throw them out. We need to follow in God's plan. So when the guy heard this, verse 24, he says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So it's one of the things about it, at least he's honest. I have had more Christians lie to me over the years, talking about being in faith. I knew that they weren't no faith. They wouldn't admit. There's one thing of it is, if you're not in a position of faith, you're never going to get there lying about it. Trying to put on an act in front of people. There's one thing. If I'm in a position and I can't believe, or I'm not believing, I stop. I'm going to do something about my faith. I ain't going to go around and make phony confessions around people to make people think that I'm something that I'm not. So many people do that. Especially, I know this as a minister. I don't ever, if I'm around people that I don't know, I never tell them I'm a minister. Because they all talk and act different. I get around Christians, I will guarantee you, they don't know me, they will act differently when they're around me. That if I tell them I'm a minister, then they get all of them get on their spiritual talk and start saying all stuff that they never talk or ever do. They're a bunch of pagans most of the time, and they act like pagans, and then they get around the minister, and they try to act like a certain way. Why put on a false? It don't matter. God sees you. He knows what a scumbag you are if you ain't acting right. He knows it. Putting a front on in front of me don't amount to nothing. It don't mean a thing. I'm talking real plain, folks. And that's the way we need to talk. We need to be more plain about this. Don't put on airs of things. Dear Lord, God knows what we're like. You'll never develop in your faith or grow putting things on. It'll never work. It'll never work out, None of us are perfect. None of us get it all right. Now, get over it. I'm not worried about what some other guy thinks of me. If I'm after something from God, I'm going to go after it. I don't care who thinks what or doing what. I'm going to go for the reward. I'm not going to go for the pat on the back. Most Christians want the pat on the back from other people, and they will bypass reward to get pats from people. They would rather get somebody liking them than get the reward. Don't do that. Shoot for the reward. Hallelujah. Use your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't go for the pats on the back. Well, it says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. He said, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. Yeah, Jesus killed him. I'll tell you what. See, there was a great atmosphere of faith there in that place, wasn't there? Understand this. This is covenant people. But I want to tell you what, you need to get under them. It's the same thing in the church world today. You're dragging most dead bodies along with you. There's all kinds of people. They play their religion and they play like they're faith people. They play these things. But this is what you're up against. This is what goes on. So if you're standing out there in faith, lots of times, the rest of them ain't. People aren't. When you're following, they're in their little religious routines, going on in their things and going on in their stuff out here. Well, my God, he killed him. I'll tell you what. Oh. He said, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. So, hallelujah. I want you to get a hold of this. See, time and time again, God is always going to deal with you about your faith. You need to listen. If you're into an area that you're standing and you're not in the place of faith that you need to be, God will deal with you. That's why you need to learn to listen. Not just keep, well, let's hurry up and go pray. We got a problem. Let's go pray. God wants to reward you. That's his desire. But he can only do that if he can take you toward faith. So he is always going to. If Jesus, see, under these circumstances, most Christians today say, you know, Jesus, if Jesus would appear and do that today around people, and they wouldn't know it was Jesus, they wouldn't like him to seeing him do. Well, how could you do that? How could you do that? Smith Wigglesworth, healing ministry was phenomenal. People raised from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth, one night in a meeting, they were praying for people. He prayed for a man for healing. And the next night, this guy come up again in the healing line. He came walking up in the healing line. And Smith Wigglesworth asked him, what are you doing up here? He said, well, I didn't get healed last night. He said, you liar. He said, get out of here. And turned around and kicked the guy in the rear end. He said, get off the stage. Oh, people got angry. They hated that. Oh, man, they were mad. They were mad. It's the best thing he could ever done for the guy. Found out later the guy did get healed. But he got healed because he kicked him in a rear end tongue. See, the guy wasn't operating faith. He was turning around and we'll just keep doing it again. I don't care. They can lay hands on your head till it wears all the hair off your head. It don't matter. You ain't getting healed because somebody lays hands on you. And this guy, you know, he was there. He didn't believe he received anything. He come back and Smith's wolves weren't going to lay his hand on him. Why? Waste time. He ain't going to get nothing anyhow. See, we have this nice little love stuff today. Oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We want everything to feel. And see, nothing ever changes. It's just like Jesus. Jesus is standing here. This incident is going on in front of these people. He's not moved. He's moving toward faith. If somebody wants something, God's always going to move you toward faith. If he has to rebuke you, he'll rebuke you. People need rebuked. I'm going to tell you, I've had God rebuke me many times on things. If you can't take rebuke, you will never grow up. That's an impossibility. It'll never. I'm going to tell you, I'd have never straightened out if my parents hadn't rebuked me a number of times. If you don't like rebuke, you ain't going to like God very much at all. You'll make up the God in your image who never says anything to you. You know, I know a guy one time, he used to always tell me all the time how much, oh, God tells me all the time how much he loves me and how much he cares for me. And this guy was always living a mess in life and more junk and all that stuff. And I'm sure he heard voices tell him how much he loved him because he thought, because all these wonderful voices saying, I love you, that he could just go on in his life. I knew it wasn't God. Because if he heard from God, God would have rebuked him for his life, for what he was doing. And his life did not turn away. He died at a very young age. God wasn't in the business of killing him. He's listening to a voice. Oh, yeah. You know, God loves everybody that's in hell today. He loved them. during hell. And so, but God is always going to move you to the areas of faith. So one of the things that is don't approach God for something that you really don't want to do what you have to do to get it. You know what I mean? People come and say they want something from God, but God's trying to deal with them and to make changes and to get them over in the areas of faith. They don't want to do that. Things they don't want to do. You waste your time. Don't waste your time. You know, Randall Greer said this, and I agree with him 100%. He said, anything that you're willing to live with, you will. You know, there's things I found out as a young Christian. I just got down as one of the biggest things that helped me understand faith is sometimes you come along in things and I just get fed up with something and say, look, this is it. I ain't going no further till this thing gets straight. Don't matter about anything else, whatever else is going on. This is getting straightened out. I'm not going to move, not going to anything else till this thing gets dealt with. You got to come to that place, you know, about things. You know, concerning healing and health, there's many people, they have not come to the place yet that they really are want healed so bad that they're just going to stop and say, hold it, we ain't moving nowhere. This thing's getting fixed. See, you got to get yourself, faith becomes a thing. If something you really believe concerning faith, it belongs to you. It's no different. If some guy was out here stealing your car out here in the parking lot right now, you know, that car belongs to you, would you stand up and look out and say, yeah, well, he's taking my car. And I get, well, you know, I really liked my car, but, you know, and you wouldn't. You'd go try to stop the guy from doing it. Most Christians talk about faith. No. You're not in faith till you come to the place. If you believed it was yours, you wouldn't allow somebody else to steal it from it. If you believe God gave you healing, that Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. You know, when I come out and found out about salvation, I accepted and took it for myself. I believed it belonged to me. Well, you got to do with healings the same way. And if you're willing to sit back and let it just go away and just let it run off, you know, well, I'll tell you, I'm believing and I'm just trusting and I'm just, if you don't come to the place, say, hey, hold it. That thing belongs to me and I'm tired of the devil messing with me. This is why the socialist Christianity don't work, because it's made pacifist, waiting for somebody else to stand up for you. I want to tell you, God won't stand up for you till you stand up. If you ain't going to stand up, ain't no point in Him standing up. Because you'll destroy everything He wants to do. You got to stand up and say, this belongs to me. Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, anything Jesus Christ gave to me, I'm going to tell you what, I don't treat frivolously. Well, it don't matter if I have it or not. It really don't matter. You know, it just really doesn't matter if I get healed, I'm saved. Well, you're dumb as a stick. Jesus went to hell, paid my punishment so I could be healed. And I would treat it so frivolously. See, we've made it some nice little side thing, little side healing, some little side thing. Jesus paid a terrible penalty so I could have health. I could have a sound mind so I could have some money in my pocket. So, I don't have to live a life taken advantage of. And see, we got to get down where we're tired of it. We're fed up with this thing. All things are possible to him that believes. True faith will lead you to a place where you will stand. You know, the Bible tells us in Paul writing, he said to put on all the whole armor of God. Why? So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the armor of God is just simply this. It's the Word of God. You put it in your mind. You put it in airplane. You do it. You're walking in the Word, doing the Word, speaking the Word. That's what is the armor of God. It amounts to the whole thing. If you read what the armor of God is, it's all about the Word of God. You get it in your mind. You get it in your spirit. You get it in your mind. You get it in your mouth. It says faith will stop every fiery dart of the devil. You see, this father is dealing with a fiery dart of the devil in his family, isn't he? How's it going to be dealt with? Jesus tells him, by faith. If they don't get in faith, it ain't going to change. The devil's going to stay. You get in faith. Because faith changes things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What? By faith. That's what God does. So they're in a terrible situation. And so the young man gets delivered because Jesus is moving him to faith. You come over to faith. If you want something, you got to come over here to this place. This place is where you got to go. It is the faith place. Faith is the place that we go to rest. We'll talk about that a little bit. Let me just say this too. I want to read you just a little thing here. We're going to read on these last two scriptures here in Mark 9. Because I just want to share with you, because people go into these and add to things. And verse 28 says, "And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Now I want you to think about this. When, see, people read that and say, "Oh, but pray and fast to get this one out." Well, did Jesus stop and pray and fast? No. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? He said, "This kind comes out but by prayer and fasting." We got to really look at it. Now, number one, Jesus said, and we go back up. Jesus said the problem that we're dealing with this guy, was faith, didn't he? This is the issue, is faith. Now, he brings in prayer and fasting. Well, if prayer and fasting is what's going to make it go out, then faith wasn't the issue, was it? Boy, it sounds a little confusing. See, we've went time and time again, we went through all these things about healing, deliverance and stuff, and we see faith involved in it. Now, we see this statement made to the disciples. I want you to understand about what faith and what we talk about is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting does not change God, never will change God, doesn't do anything to God. When I pray and fast, God is the same the day I started as the day I quit doing it. God changes not. Prayer and fasting is about you and me. It's about changing you and me. Understand what fasting, prayer and fasting just amounts to this. It's to bring your flesh under control. Your flesh is so noisy and your mind is so noisy many times. You can't operate in faith yourself because you're so noisy, you can't hear what's in the inside. Found this out over the years. Many times Christians come along to me and say, you know, they have a faith problem. They don't have a faith problem. They have a flesh problem. They're so noisy, they don't need faith. They're in faith in the inner man, but they can't hear their inner man. They don't know what's going on in the inside of them. And they're just full of noise in the outside. And all they're doing is listening to what they see, feel, everything on the outside. That's what's running the show. This is one thing that prayer and fasting does. It gets you over, because when you pray and fast, you aren't out here, you know, playing baseball or doing something else over here and praying and fasting. Praying and fasting, you get alone, you get your flesh quiet, get your mind quiet. It'll take you some time. See, you just quit feeding your body. See what happens to it. It'll start yelling at you, you know. I mean, I know people, if they miss one meal, they can't take it. There's plenty of Christians. You know, I had a Christian one time, a woman come up and tell me, say, "Well, I can't pray and fast because I can't miss a meal. I feel bad." I said, "Man, does your flesh ever dominate you?" She said, well, I have a problem. I said, "Yeah, you have a problem. You live by the flesh. That's what your problem is." She needed to leave some lunches aside and get her flesh under control. Get herself down. And what you do is getting yourself to the point where you can hear. You can get quiet and hear. You know, I can walk around all the time. You know, I can be around people and I can be praying in tongues and be around people they don't even know what's going on and doing that. But it's another thing you get by yourself and get things quiet and other people aren't around doing things. You need to hear on the inside. See, Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "If you say this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you'll say will come to pass, you'll have what you say." But he said, if you don't doubt in your heart, in other words, you're going to be speaking from your inner man. Faith is speaking from the inner man. Faith is not speaking about the problem. Did you hear me? Faith is not... See, most people, they call this faith. I'm believing in it. I'm believing this. Faith is saying something out of your spirit. It has never been faith if you have not spoken out of your spirit and your mouth is saying what you're in your spirit and not doubting. You can't doubt in your heart. So you got to be able to check yourself out. Are you doubting in your heart? If you can't, you can sit and make all the faith confessions you want. He's talking to them prayer and fasting. So you need to understand, sometimes dealing with some things that only takes a little bit of faith you can get by on, some things you're going to need some major faith to push it. It's sort of like, you know, weight. I mean, if you can pick up 50 pounds, you know, that's good. But if you have a 200-pound object, you're not going to push that one. You're not going to move that one. You're not going to do it. And you need to understand that. You need to understand, if you don't know you on the inside, who you are, it's most of the time it ain't about God, it's about you. When I learned that a long time ago, it's about me, it ain't about God. God's word's true. I don't have to go try to figure something out there with that. I don't have to spend, once I know the word's true, I don't have to spend time doing anything with that. What I got to do is spend time with me, getting me in line with my believing what the word says and not doubting it. It's about me. Most people, when they think of the subject of faith, they're always saying, God, 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 God. God already did it. He already declared. Salvation was given to all men. Sitting and meditating on what God's going to do about it. You know, God ain't going to do nothing about your salvation. He already did it. You got to receive it and act on it. It's about you. It's about me. You know, but when I was born into the earth, God had already forgiven my sin and did all that. Didn't do me no good. I lived like hell till I was 30. It wasn't until I did something about it. And see, you got to get over into that area to think, when once you found out God's word's true, then what's going on? What is my belief system? What am I believing on the inside? Do I have doubts on the inside about this? It's just one thing that you find out about yourself. Fasting and prayer is about you hooking up to hear what God is saying on the inside, the Holy Ghost living in you. He'll show you, just like with this guy on the faith thing. This guy comes along, he wants the demon cast out of his son. Jesus leads him right over and says, man, you got to get into faith. Faith is required here. See, this guy, he wants his son delivered because he got a problem. He's saying God ought to do something about it because he got a problem. God said, you got to get into faith. You got to do something about this. You got to do something. And see, the disciples are out here. They say, why can't we cast this thing out? Well, we know this. Jesus didn't stop and have a prayer and fasting. He'd already been doing that stuff. He'd been already spending time. Some of you have seen the scriptures. He got up early in the morning and he'd go out and pray. Sometimes, say, before the sun come up, he was out praying. Now, I was praying this morning before the sun come up. 4 o'clock this morning, I was praying before the sun come up. See, this boldness I get on me, it don't come on me because I'm just so bright. You just get over and spend time with God to find out what you are. People never find out what they are. They never learn to know them. They don't know what's on the inside of what they're really like on the inside. All they're all tied to the outside. What they look at the outside, they'll tell you what you look like in the mirror. And they say, I ain't got time. The only look in the mirror is to shave. I don't care about the rest of it. It don't matter. It's what you are on the inside. You can do all this stuff on the outside and do all kinds of things. It don't matter. That's not important. Lots of people are great on the outside, do a lot on the outside, and inside it ain't pretty at all. But God's looking on the inside. And that's what we want to do. We want to get looking on the inside. Why? Because this thing of these disciples, man, what are we dealing with here? Well, we're dealing with something. These guys are not taking, you know, it amazes me. They have this wonderful master that they're following. They even said he's the Messiah. And they're not following his pattern. He gets up in the morning and goes and pray. They don't. You know, it depends. Like some people in the morning, sometimes I'll stay up at night. It does, you know, you go either way. But the other way, you're going to have to spend some time. You're going to have to go over and spend time to find out what's going on inside of you. And then if you want to hear from God, you need to get quiet. God's not going to always talk to you some booming voice. Sometimes you're going to sit down in the scriptures and you're not going to get hardly thing of a revelation out of it. It's until you get over in prayer, God starts talking to you about things. And if you ain't going to do those things, there's lots of things you're never going to find out. You're not going to know. And so you want to come to the place where your faith, you don't want to be in the category here that they're dealing with here. These guys are sitting there, they're saying, well, what's going on? What is happening here? Why can't we deal with this thing? Number one, if they would have been hooked up over in the area of faith, Jesus was prayed up, fasted up. In other words, he had heard from heaven. He knew there was a faith problem. They didn't. They didn't know there was a faith problem. I watch people do this all the time, trying to minister to somebody that God expects them to be in faith, and they're always trying to get this person delivered, and it ain't going to ever work. See, they didn't know that. See, you need to find out. I've had over the years dealing with people in situations where I get over praying about an individual, about what's going on, and find out. You can't do nothing about it. You can't do anything. The person, God expects them to do certain things, and they won't do it. You know, I've had the Lord tell me on a number of occasions concerning individuals. They know exactly what to do, and they won't do it, and you can't do anything for them. See, God's trying to move a person to faith. They just keep on the same path they're on. They don't change. They don't do it. And see, you need to understand this. You know, is one of the big things that Randy Greer's been dealing with in meetings on is the fact of being, you know, is get over here and being a doer of the word, getting over here. But you got to spend time with God. You got to spend time over to get yourself where you're in contact on the inside, your human spirit in contact with God. You can have the Holy Spirit. Most Christians will live and die and never know the Holy Spirit that lives in them. The only thing they'll know is some verses from the Bible. That's all they got. But they don't know the Holy Spirit. The Lord spoke to me when I was first born again. And I started listening to Kenneth Hagin. Had series on tape series at that time. On how to be led by the Spirit. When the Lord spoke to me, when I listened to the second tape and said to me, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Some 20 years later, he spoke to me one day and said, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. Churches are filled with today with people who got born again. All they're nice, good, all they tell, believe Jesus saves. But they have never grown up any. They have amounted nothing as a Christian. Because all they are, you know, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. What about the Holy Ghost? You know? They have the rituals they go through. It's worth finding out. Jesus just didn't have some kind of canned ministry where he did certain things the same way all the time. Why? You're led by the Spirit. You know, this is, you know what that requires you to do? Walk by faith. See, if I could write you a book and say, just do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. That's what most of church world is today. Do this, don't do that, do that. That's it. And if I follow the rules, bang, oh man, I'm a good person. See, where does it come in? Led by the Spirit? Never. No, I followed all the rules. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God has plans for us. I want you to see, as God, you know, it's one thing we want to talk about dealing here, another one in Luke, the 13th chapter. I know I'm meddling a lot today, but I'm going to keep meddling because we need to get over these things. There needs to be a shaking within the church world. The church world as a whole is very naive, very, you know, when it comes to knowing God, knowing God, people have all kind of religious ideas and things. We need to come over, throw out our religious ideas. You know, if I have anything in me, I want to know about it. Is there anything that hinders? You know, is Kenneth Hagin in his teaching on divine healing, he said, you got to deal with cause. If you don't deal with cause, why is what happened to me? Why? You need to understand this. Satan just can't come around at will and just attack everybody and do it. He'd have us all sick all the time, wouldn't he? There's things that we sometimes open the door to, and we need to find out why things exist and why they are. Lord, what's going on here? I need to know. Sometimes it's just lack of knowledge. A person maybe don't know certain things about the Scripture. They need a revelation. That's one thing. Spending time with God. Let Him teach you. Sit down. That's why being in the Word is a really good thing. So He can turn around and instruct you and show you some stuff. And, you know, especially getting over, but allowing the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher in you, start to show you. God will want to show you causes. Why? Because if you can deal with the cause, and I know this for myself, you find out what the cause is. And once you got that, you know how to. It almost comes automatically knowing to do fix it. But if you don't ever know what the cause is, you'll just keep going along the same way, and it'll stay. And you'll say, "Well, I'm just believing God, and I'm in faith." When there's no faith involved, because it's like the Lord spoke to me and helped me a lot when I was a younger Christian. He said, "You're like a doctor that's only treating symptoms." That's with most people when it comes to healing. All they're focused on is their symptoms. That's all they're focused on, their symptoms. I want the symptoms to go away. Symptoms don't go away because you want them to go away. Symptoms will leave if you deal with the cause. The sickness. Whatever it is, deal with it. And how you deal with that? By faith. What's important, your focus should be on your faith, not on the disease. If your focus is on your problem, it's probably going to stay. If a doctor, like the Lord told me, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. If a doctor only keeps treating the symptoms, you're always going to have the disease. It's never going away. It is the same way. Faith, God will lead you to faith to take away the problem. If the problem goes, the symptoms leave. Dealing with symptoms is not the thing. So I told you guys about, a few years back, I know how to operate in faith. I know how to walk faith concerning healing. And I got over it, got focused, and I was having a problem, and all I got focused on was what the symptoms were in the thing. And the Lord rebuked me on it. He rebuked me. He said, you know what to do, and you don't do it. He said, all you've been doing is focus on what your problem is. He said, you haven't been looking at your healing, you've just been looking at the problem. That's what most people do. Always looking at the problem and not looking at the answer. You know, a doctor could give you medicine, and you could take that medicine and you could set it on your counter or wherever, or by your bed or whatever it is, and you could sit there and say all you wanted, I know that would take care of, if I take that medicine, I'll feel a lot better. I just know if I take that medicine. But if you don't take the medicine, you can say all you want about it, but you got to take the medicine. You can say anything you want. You can do it. And this is many people. Well, I know God wants to heal that. I know God heals. I know. They're saying all this stuff, but it amounts to nothing. They never take the medicine. They don't ever take the medicine. God's word's medicine, folks. You take the word. You focus on the word. You don't focus on the problem. Don't keep yourself over there looking at the problem. In Luke 13, I want to share quickly here with Jesus dealing with a woman here. We find out in Luke, the 13th chapter. In verse 10, it says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way rise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now I want to see it. Here we go. Look at this one. This woman, we haven't indicated she had a spirit of infirmity. In other words, her sickness, just like we see this young boy, what was happening in him, might have seemed like it was somebody say has epilepsy or something, but we found out that there's a demonic power involved. Here, there's a spirit of infirmity. There's a demonic spirit involved is why this woman can't stand up. This is why you need to learn to be led by the Spirit. A healing anointing in itself does not take care of those things. Jesus said this, one of the things that we would do is we would cast out devils. And then he says, in other words, we would lay hands on the sick. It ain't the same. I've seen this. I know this people that have had hands laid on them literally hundreds of times. And I know this. There's a demonic power involved. But they just keep they keep looking for a healing, somebody healing evangelist, somebody lay hands on me, and it doesn't affect it. It don't affect it. See, we need to understand this. It's just like, and I've talked about this before, and you need to get a hold of this. There's people who need a miracle, and they keep getting hands laid on them for healing. They don't need healing, they need a miracle. They need something recreated in their body. We need to understand that there's things that need recreated. Healing won't replace it. It needs a miracle. Now, one thing is we do have is we can pray, is the prayer agreement will work to cause miraculous things to happen. That's why with Kenneth Hagin. Now, Kenneth Hagin was caught up to heaven. Jesus laid his hands on, touched Brother Hagin's hands with his fingers, gave him a special healing ministry. There's people who have a healing ministry. What operates to them sometimes is a gift of healing, but majority of the times, it's the healing anointing that God specifically gave them. It's not gifts of healing. They have a healing ministry. There's a difference between gifts of healings and a healing ministry. And he was to tell people concerning healing Lord told him, he said, you tell people what happened to you. You got called up to heaven. I touched your hands, gave you a healing anointing. And if you lay hands on people, they'll be healed. You tell them that story. If they believe it and they'll receive that, you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. Now, I know this from Kenneth Hagin's ministry and watching Kenneth Hagin minister. I helped in his ministry and camp meeting and stuff. I worked down by the stage. I mean, I was right by where Brother Hagin was and that stuff, but I watched him over the years. When it came down to a person needed a miracle, Brother Hagin would always take them and put them separate from the people he's ministering healing to. Why did he do that? Because this healing anointing wasn't going to bring a miracle. The healing anointing was for healing the sick. It wasn't for causing a miracle to happen. Now, I saw this, what they would do then. He would bring the people up then that who needed a miracle, some kind of something replaced in the body. You know, it's just like people with MS and that stuff. They don't need healed. Their body, their nervous system and that stuff has been, you know, all messed up. And it actually needs replaced, you know. You know, you don't go in a house and the wiring system's all messed up and burned out and say, well, I'll tell you, we're just going to add some new pieces here. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have yourself some problems. And that needs replaced. But yet I've seen them go around and he'd say, now, they need a miracle and this is what we're going to do. We're going to agree with them. We're going to agree because we have the prayer of agreement. Time and time again, people were healed, had a miracle take place. They agree, got the church to agree. But see, today we can everything and throw all in a bag. People don't read the Bible. Oh, they talk about reading the Bible and believe it. How could you believe the Bible when you don't even know what's in it? That's why I'm so meticulously going through this stuff. Because I can see in the church world, people almost know nothing. I'm talking about the spirit-filled people. They've lost it completely. We knew a lot more back, ain't Mike, when we come into the kingdom, dear God. Man, we were like, as baby Christians, we were like college graduates to the Christians today. Had so much better teaching. Today, they ain't got nothing going on. Everything's thrown in the bag and everybody's playing all these religious games of all this stuff about prayer and healing and stuff. And is it working? Nah. Because there's things people need to know. And it's the people can't teach it because they don't know it. And they won't sit down and listen to anybody who knows anything because they got their religious ideas and I got a crowd. So if I got a crowd, that means I'm spiritual. Don't make anybody spiritual. So this woman, Jesus said, is number one, he spoke to her and said, woman, he said, you're loosed of your infirmity. It says, then he laid his hand on her, and she was straightened up. So really, we see, in a sense, he ministers differently to this woman than he did to the young man, just being led by the Spirit. He said, you're loosed. He spoke to her that you're loosed of that infirmity. And then he put his hand on her. So he spoke to her first and loosed her with the words that he said. And loosed her, he laid hands on her, and then she was straightened up. Now I want you to see, because there's some really good information here in this. Well, first of all, in verse 14, we have the ruler of the synagogue. In other words, a religious person answers with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Said the Lord then answered and said, hypocrite. Hypocrite. He publicly said that to that man. He would get thrown out of most churches. Jesus ain't allowed in church today. He ain't supposed to be in here. He's, you know, we have to have this nice little cute place where anybody can believe anything they want and what they want and how they want, and don't anybody say nothing about it. Lord answered and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? He says, so ought not. Now listen to what he says. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. He said, think of it, for 18 years, this woman for 18 years. How did Jesus know? See, a word of knowledge came along in this thing. He said, for 18 years. He said, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath. Now, we know this. By this statement alone, we know that Israel had a healing covenant. She was supposed to be free. But because of religious traditions, most Christians that stay sick are sick because of their religious traditions. The love of their religious traditions, they won't break them. And Satan uses them against us. He uses our religious ideas. That's why we want to look at these things. You come down. He said, look, this is a daughter, Abraham. She's been bound for 18 years. She's supposed to have been loose for 18 years. But she has not been because of the way the religious leader. Why didn't this religious leader do something about it than one of the other days of the week? They do nothing. You know, it's like people today all the time. They knock y'all healing and, you know, yeah, these people believe in healing and all this stuff and everything. And they run around and they talk all this stuff. Then they walk around and act like they like people. And they'll say somebody will get sick and give them a prayer request about being sick. And they'll go through emotions like they're praying. Ain't nothing. The faithless aren't going to do nothing. It ain't going to happen. If they got healed, it would definitely be by luck. There wouldn't be nothing in it involved in the areas of any knowledge in doing anything. It would just be downright luck. The wonder of faith is we don't play with it. The faith has the answer. Now, I want to say, he made this statement. Jesus said, this woman ought to have been loosed on the Sabbath. So we know this from the standpoint. We have here, she's supposed to be loosed. She's a daughter of Abraham. Do you know that you're a child of Abraham? New Testament says so. You're Abraham's seed. There's according to the promise. You're supposed to be well. Did you know that? You're supposed to be well. That's supposed to be the norm. Now, you can get in condemnation and say, oh, messed up, or you can receive it and say, praise God, God wants me well. He's working on my side. Or you can go through your little religious routine and feel bad for yourself and pat yourself on the back for another 18 years and stay sick. Whichever way you want to do it, take it. Me, when I found out, hallelujah, now he said, be loosed on the Sabbath. This is important. On the Sabbath. Because if you go over and read the book of Hebrews, and in the book of Hebrews, we found out what the Sabbath was about. It was about rest. And it said that Israel couldn't enter into rest because of unbelief. You have never had a Sabbath till you believed. You can't have a Sabbath concerning healing till you can believe and receive your healing. Your faith is your Sabbath. It's the place that you rest. Israel couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't get into the land. They never entered the place of rest. The Sabbath was a day of rest. The Sabbath was a day to minister to people and get them delivered and set free. And they said, no, we don't do it. We don't do it on the Sabbath. That's work. Well, what were they doing on the Sabbath? If they'd have been spending time with God on the Sabbath, they'd have heard they were supposed to be healing and delivered. So we know this. They had nothing to do with God on the Sabbath day. This is all their religious tradition. See, I live in a Sabbath every day. Live a life of faith. You live in rest. You don't try to find rest somewhere. You live in it. Faith is about living in rest. Where you're not fearful. You're not worried. You're not afraid. You're not wringing your hands. You're not doing that. Faith lets you enter into rest. This is one of the most wonderful things. When I found out about faith, to me, was one of the most wonderful things. Because I tell you, I lived a life till I was 30 years old with no rest. From the time I was a child, religion had driven me crazy. I was insane. I thought God was out to get everybody because of what religion. You know, every time you did something wrong, you know, God saw you. Say, dear Lord, he heard those idiots too. They didn't realize it. But they were always doing things. But God was always out to get people. When I came to the place where I could trust a God, I came to a place of rest. I got to the place, I don't worry no more. I don't worry. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Well, did you wait to Sunday to get here to get some rest? I don't know. I feel sorry for you if you did. Should have had it before you got here. Hallelujah. Faithful. See, what we teach, the whole thing is we're teaching things because God wants you at rest. This is why religion is the biggest killer we got going on. It ain't some devil worshiper out here is your problem. It's the devil living in the church, teaching the church, instructing the church. We're supposed to be living every day in a Sabbath, a place of rest. God's taking care of me, looking after me. He's providing all of my needs according to His glory, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. I don't fear. I ain't got a spirit of fear, but I got power, love, and a sound mind. I ain't flaky. Glory to God. I'll tell you, I'm as sharp as a tack. Glory to God. I'm doing good. Now, don't talk like that. You get big-headed. Well, we got big heads filled with doubt and unbelief. Thought it was wonderful. Call it Christianity. It's good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. But you're a child of Abraham. And Jesus is speaking these words to you today. That you ought to be free. You should be. You're a daughter or a son of Abraham. Wherever, how long something has bound you, your covenant has called you free. The wonderful thing about our covenant, as long as people hang on to the law and do the areas of works, Abraham, we need to understand, our covenant is like Abraham's covenant. Abraham's covenant was not the law. Abraham didn't have the law. Abraham's covenant was solely based on promise. The new covenant is solely based on promise. It's not based on law. It's based on promise. That's why the scripture says in the New Testament, all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Under the law, if you do all the law and everything I command you, then these blessings will be on you. You don't do it, and all these curses come on. You miss it, then all this bad stuff happens. See, that's the difference between the law and faith. Most of Christianity, most Christians, are somewhat legalists. See, if all the promises, think about it, if all the promises are yes and amen, then the fact that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and the fact that He, by His stripes, I was healed. Do you know, He says I was. In other words, that is a statement of fact. If Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, if by His stripes I was healed, that's statements of fact. It's not statements of something I'm trying to get from Him. That is a truth stated about what He did for me. That's a statement of fact. See, many people are trying to get that. I don't have to try to get it. It's a statement of fact. That's true, right? That's a state. I don't have to try to get it. I need to receive that as true. That's what I need to do. I need to say, that statement said about me, this is what Jesus did for me, it was done. If Jesus took my infirmities, then I ain't taking them. Jesus bore my sicknesses, I ain't taking them. Most people take them, this is what they do. I have this problem. What did you just state? This belongs to me. If I have it, it's mine. I have this. This is what I got. I'm believing God to take it away from me. Sorry, He already took it away from you. He wants to, but He can't because you're holding on to it as tight as you can with your mouth. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this back years ago when I first got born again. He said, I don't believe in sickness. I don't believe in it. Now, what he was talking about, he didn't say sickness don't happen. It does. But he don't believe it for himself. See, most people believe in it. They're getting ready to get it. But see, understand this is what happened. I was taught healing different than most people are taught healing. Most people are taught healing, you get sick and then you believe God to get well. I was taught by Kenneth Hagin that you're well, stay well. It's a total I'm going to tell you, it's 180 degrees difference in a thing. Jesus already took my infirmities. When Jesus took my sin, I didn't have to do anything special to get born again. All I had to do was receive Christ. The Bible said to do it. Why? What was in that salvation thing? All I had to... Hey, He said, if I believe in Him, I confess Him as Lord, God raised Him, I believe God raised Him from the dead, I would be saved. That's just a statement of fact of what He said I had to do. So I believed I had to do that, and I did it. And I got saved. Wasn't no great work about it. I didn't walk around for 20 years. Well, I hope He saved me. Well, I tell you, I'm just believing God. And someday He might save me. No, I acted on the Word of God. I just dumb guy, just believed he saved me. When I got saved, I didn't have any emotional feeling. I didn't have any kind. Some people say, I feel like this great weight went off of me. I didn't have any of that. I had none of that. I didn't have any kind of feeling. And I'm certainly glad I didn't. I just believed the word was true. I believed I was saved. Now, manifestations came. A changed life. And it will. See, the whole thing of it is most people, they want a manifestation. When it comes to healing, most people want the manifestation. And then they'll say, God healed me when they felt better. God healed Ed before he was ever born. He took my infirmities. Jesus took my sin before I was ever born. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses before I was ever born. It was already done. When I came into this earth, nobody ever told me. I went to church, grew up in church. 50,000 sermons, in a month they'd try to, you'd hear all this junk. Nobody ever told us. Nobody ever told us nothing. Never told us what the Bible said. Had all the religion. They never told us. They never told me he took my infirmities and bore my sin. I didn't have to. No, that's part of life. A healing minister would come along and knock him. People said, I preach heresy. Just lately here, I'm preaching heresy. You know that? Well, see, they listen to some healing stuff. You're preaching heresy. People love sickness and death. The church loves sickness and death. They want to cling to it. They hold on to it. The devil has lied to Christians, and they hang on to it to dear life. I got a right to be sick. I got a right to be poor. I got a right to be mentally tormented. I got a right. Don't take that from me. God's working something out in my life. Oh, my. But see, get yourself over. Would you look? There's statements of fact in the Word of God. All the promises are yes and amen. Everything that God did for you, you are a child of Abraham. You're not going to be. You don't have to do anything special. You accepted Jesus Christ. Immediately, you entered a covenant that has had salvation, which dealt with a new birth. The Holy Spirit became your teacher. That happened with it. You didn't have to do any great work to get that done. All these healing automatically belongs. Healing's yours. He already took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Well, just like salvation, you got to agree with him on it. Did he do it? Did he do it? See, and you got to order the fact. Well, did he do it? There's one thing as I learned. Something comes against me, and the first thing as I say, this thing ain't mine. Jesus took my infirmity and bore my sickness. This thing don't belong to me, and I'm not taking it. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going there. Why? Well, it'd be like, me saying Jesus didn't take my sin. Now, that'd be heresy. See, no, I'm sorry. I'm not receiving that. Well, you sure look sick. Well, you just keep believing what you see. I'll end up well, but you'll never get well doing your stuff. The devil will always be knocking on your door. He'll always be doing stuff. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll come to you every time and he'll want you to keep it, God's working something out in your life. God's doing this. God's doing that. How could he be? Does Jesus want sin in my life so he can work things out? And say, he didn't take my sin on the cross because he wants some sin left in me so he can work some things out. See, we need to come to the point where sickness is something that we hate and we despise it. There's nothing breaks my heart more and I see people go through that. Just like we had this story here where a woman, 18 years, she's bound like that for 18 years. You know how many people living in this world have been bound for longer than 18 years and people are bound and stuff and they're walking around under the weight of it, not supposed to? Or anything breaks my heart more is Christianity. Christians, as bound as the world is, as sick as the world is, and trying to justify it. Instead, accept what the goodness of God gave through us in Christ Jesus. Children of Abraham, they have a covenant of healing that they neglect. Don't neglect what he's given you. I'm going to tell you what, declare it. Say it, no matter what it looks like, what seems to be going on, what seems to be happening. Quit letting the outside run your mind and run your life. Quit letting what you see and what people are saying and doing. Let the Word of God become your guide. If Jesus took your infirmities, then it's already taken. Why are you trying? People say, I want Him to take this away from me. He did it 2,000 years ago. And you're not going to have anything happen until you admit that. Say, God, you're right and I'm an idiot. You know how many times I've said to the Lord, Lord, you're exactly right. And I've been confessing this one wrong. Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. I should know better. Start speaking your health and start speaking your life. You know, I pray over my food. I pray over my food. God bless my bread and mortar. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. I have that confession all the time. Sickness ain't something. Sickness. See, we're supposed to pray over our food, sanctify it by the prayer of thanksgiving and the Word of God. Most people never use the Word of God and say they bless their food. You didn't bless it till you confessed what the Word said. I'm thankful for it, and He blesses my bread and water, and He takes sickness away from it. Hallelujah. No, sickness will run from me. My God, hallelujah. He takes it away. Sickness ain't for my midst. I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He takes sickness away from me. You know, we were always taught, well, you just ask God if you're really thankful, that's the biggie. He didn't say. He said, with the prayer of thanksgiving and the Word of God, you use the Word, you confess what the Word says. What's the Word say? Well, I don't even know. I've just been so thankful I got lunch. And after I was done eating, I puked. I want you to understand this. I've learned to walk in this thing, and I'm going to tell you it works. I've been on the mission field and stuff. I've eaten a lot of things, man, that people would say, you know. I mean, I don't try to run around and find bad food, but you better know how to walk in this stuff, because I want to tell you, there's loads. I know minister friends of mine. They've been on the mission field and come home sick, and some of them are sick for months and months and months on end. God don't send me to go do something, so He's trying to make me sick. It's the devil. And there's a tainted world out here, and if you're trying to hide from it, well, forget it. You're worse off than a non-believer is. You can't hide from it. You got to get out here in this world. You're going to run into things or things, you know, you ain't going to find your, you know, antibiotic-free chicken every place. And you ain't going to have, you can't turn around and bless and sanctify stuff and eat it. There's something wrong with your mind. You can't live in a fearful world like this. We can't live in our own little somewhere. That's what I was taught to do. You know, we're just this nice little group going to go to heaven, and you know, everybody else is going to hell, and so we're going to stay away from all the rest of them. And that's all they did. And loads of them died young and everything else. And lived bad lives, wasn't good, sick, and everything else on that stuff. But I've learned. I go, praise God, I go by faith. I go on the mission, feel strong, and come home strong. And stay strong. Why would God send me someplace and want to make me sick? Wouldn't that be a dumb thing? But number one, you got to agree with Him on it. You have to agree with Him on things and start saying them in your life. Get it in your life. Talk about your health. Make confessions about your health and your soundness of your mind. Make confessions of those things. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Ain't no man walking around or a woman walking around, you know, and talking about, you know, well, I just have trouble with mind. I have trouble with memory, and I have trouble with this. I have trouble with that with my mind, and I have trouble. You said you have trouble. You're going to have what you say. You believe it in your heart. You've been saying it with your mouth. Glory to God. Your faith's working great. Ain't nothing wrong with your faith. My God, you've been bringing to pass everything you've been saying. Hallelujah. I have the mind of Christ. I was a young Christian. Had trouble with my mind and things. You know, you come out as a drunk and druggie, you have trouble with your mind. But I'm really surprised today, I'm still smarter than most Christians, even when I was a druggie. My God. Because those Christians, they still want to live under the rock somewhere, you know. They're, you know, talking about Jesus is the rock. No, they're underneath the rock. It's laying on top of them. But I heard Kenneth Hagin did a teaching, having the mind of Christ. And man, I started a confession. I had the mind of Christ. I say this all the time. Jesus don't think weird. He don't have trouble learning. He don't have trouble with His mind. He has a great mind, and I have His. Glory to God. I'm not some flake thinking weird thoughts, and my mind ain't caught. And I'd start saying that all the time. I'd say, hey, if I have the mind of Christ, I can think just like Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have trouble understanding the Word of God. I don't have trouble understanding things. I have the mind of Christ. And I'd say that stuff. You know what? I'd be walking around saying that. And my mind would be saying to me, what was that you said? I don't get it. I just... What I do is just like over my food. I make the confession of what the Word says. And I stayed with the confession of the Word. And I'm going to tell you what, it worked. It worked. Obeying the Holy Ghost. We did it with my daughter, Alyssa. She was in school and they told her, I think it was what, second grade, they said you need to be in remedial reading and that stuff. So the Lord spoke to me because I asked the Lord about it. He said, I want you to do something for her. He says, when you put her to bed, go take her to bed. You pray for her. You know, we regularly prayed and went to bed. But he said, you lay hands on her and pray in other tongues. He said, you pray over every night in other tongues. You pray. Well, we did that. It was 2 weeks, and I think it was 2 weeks or something like that in a remedial reading course. And they said, she don't need to be in a remedial reading course. You listen to God. Pay attention to God. Listen. Well, what came out of that, too, is she was just a second grade. But she said one night, she said, Daddy, I want to pray like you do. And she's talking about praying in tongues. I said, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, yeah. I laid hands on her, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke another tongue. See, most people, they got their religious routines and they're never asking God what to do about things. People say, well, I hear all the time, well, my child has this problem. Well, sure, they got that problem. You've been confessing it on them long enough. You're keeping them bound to it, and then you go and tell them they got it. And then you get them repeating it. And I got this trouble. I got this wrong with me. I'm a flake. You know that? I'm crazy as a day is long, you know? I'll tell you. But I'm a believing God. You need to get over the thing. Start spraying. See, this is why this confession stuff, we haven't done it at all. We've let all the major things that stuff should have been done, and we've done nothing about it. We've talked the wrong way about stuff. We keep saying the wrong stuff, and we wonder why nothing changes. Talking bad about something never makes it any better, does it? That's why I don't watch you lose on TV. I don't need people repeating bad things to me. When they come on the news and they start telling you this nutty stuff going on, I would rather sit in a bar with a bunch of drunks than listen to half the stuff that's coming out of Christians' mouths. Because the drunks, they ain't complaining about what's going on. They're drinking their sorrows away. The church, they stay sober and complain. And just gripe and moan and tell everybody all the problems they have that God gave them. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's good. God is here for deliverance. You know, you're a child of Abraham. That's what you are. You have a healing covenant. A healing covenant. Think about that. You have a covenant with God that God made for you. I want you to think this morning about the power of this healing covenant. This healing covenant, really, God made it with God. Jesus Christ came as a man in the earth, but he was God. God, the Son, and God the Father consummated this covenant. You and I weren't God, but because Jesus came into this earth and he came in it in a physical body, he became a man. He lived in this earth. You know, your earth suit is how you get to live in this earth. If your earth suit dies, you got to leave. You know that? When you watch, any of these ghost shows and they talk about people left here, ain't nobody left here. There's demons they're dealing with. They're familiar spirits that knew the people before they left, and they manifest things about that individual. People say, oh, yeah, they're, you know, grandma's still here. No, she ain't. You never saw grandma here. You might have seen a demon that tried to manifest grandma. They ain't here. They leave this earth. The Bible's clear on where people go. They either go to heaven or hell. Either the Bible's right or these people are right. Most Christians go with what the world says about it. Don't say anything. But God came into this earth as a man, and Jesus stepped in. God was glorified in a man's body, made a covenant. Just think, for you and me, a covenant we couldn't make, a covenant we couldn't do. And God made the covenant, and because Jesus had an earth suit, That's why you're allowed to be in the covenant, because he had a physical body. He was born into the earth in an earth suit that was a child of Abraham. Of Abraham's descendants. He was physically. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, anybody that believes on him can enter that covenant that God made with God. And if Jesus said that that woman who is a child of Abraham, she shouldn't have been bound for 18 years, then that speaks specifically to you today, because you entered Abraham's covenant and you've entered it legally. You've done it by faith through Jesus Christ, what God did for every man, and you entered that covenant the day that you received Jesus Christ, and because you're now a child of Abraham. The covenant of salvation and everything else with healing and all that goes right along with the covenant. It is yours. It legally belongs to you. Healing is legally yours. It's not a nice thing that maybe you could get someday. Today, it legally belongs to you. You are in that covenant. That covenant was sealed with blood. It's greater than any contract or anything. It's sealed with the blood. That blood has been put on the mercy seat of heaven itself, the Bible says. Jesus entered into the holies of holies, it says, with his blood, and made eternal redemption. The eternal redemption, people just say, forgiveness of sin. Oh, I feel so sorry for such a small man. If forgiveness of sin was the only thing, it was the new birth. It was the new birth. You didn't get your sins. You know, and I see people say, well, I got my sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. Well, there's a thing that's not said true about that. Jesus didn't clean up old rotten people and just give you a bath. He made you a new person. Your forgiveness of sin is through the new birth, your sin nature. I didn't get washed up and now I'm the same old scumbag I was before. That's why it changes. When people say they get born again and they don't change, they were not born again. Born again will change your life. Born again changes things. You pass from death unto life. That's what the new birth does. That's the new nature. That is the forgiveness of sin that you got. That's why your sin, which never was with Israel, was moved from the east to the west. If you were only washed in the blood of Jesus and he just cleaned you up, then your sins are still here and exposed. They're still in the wash tub. They're not. Your sins was moved because the sin nature was removed from you, the old man. Every one of you, let me say this to you here today. Every one of you today, spiritually, you're not as old as you are physically. It's 2018, January of 1980, I got born again. In January of this year, Ed Gibson was spiritually 38 years old. The nature that I had before no longer even exists. The spiritual nature that I was is gone. That man's dead. That spiritual man is not even alive today. That's why when we drag up the past and our past and drag it up, we're dragging up the lie of the past. I'm not responsible. You know, the Ed Gibson today was never a drug addict. Was never a drunk. He was never any of those things. When I got saved, that guy who did all that drinking, now physical body, this is just the house I live in. The real me no longer exists that day. The real me on the inside was never party to that stuff. He never was an alcoholic. He was never a drug addict. He's never just going to do all the crazy things I did. That guy's dead. Are you living today like he's alive? See, there was a day that I became a child of Abraham and entered a covenant. I have a new life. You got a new life. Glory to God. Whatever it was in the past. Think about it. It's gone. If the church would ever start to live like it's gone, the church keeps living like it's still here. I'm still that person. I'm not that person. When I got born again, I was a changed man. Hallelujah. That old guy's dead. A man that lives in this house is 68 years old, going on 69. It's past halfway past that. 69. The inner man is renewed day by day. He's existed for 37 years, but he's as much life and even more life than he had when I started off with it. Hallelujah. He's full of more life and full of more energy today than he was when I got born again. And it's the same way with you. Hallelujah. That's why I said, with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside us. Think about it. The Holy Ghost now is in. It ain't enough you got that, you got this new spirit and got God's word in it, got in the life of God. The Holy Ghost done moved in. And you have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have resurrection power inside of you today. My God, that ought to drive sickness and disease so far away. See, you can't think biblically and want to stay sick. You can't. It'll drive it right out of you. You get thinking right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sickness will get terrified of you. God, the devil don't want you to know the truth. He don't want you to know what you really are and what you really got. He wants you to stay sick. He wants you to accept things the way that they are. The way they used to be, he wants you to accept that and say, no, it ain't. I ain't used to be anymore. Hallelujah. Used to be as far away as the east is from the west. Oh, used to be, he's buried somewhere where nobody even knows where he's at anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see and our thoughts are what we were. And we're just trying to change what we were. What on earth are you trying to change what you were? You've already been changed. Hallelujah. If you come into the right thinking about who and what you are, my God will revolutionize your mind. You'll probably take about 40 laps around the church here just cheering and shouting. Hallelujah. Glory to God to find out what you really are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to, Alyssa asked for prayer. I'm going to pray for Alyssa. I'm going to have her come up. Is anybody else, you want prayer? We're going to pray. If anybody, you know, we can, this is the whole thing. We have this wonder of agreement. Hallelujah. Can do anything. The church has agreement that can do anything. It belongs to us. Health and soundness, it belongs to us. Anybody wants prayer for healing? We can pray. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do is, now, James says something, and it was one of the things that is praying for people for the sick. Now, James said about you can anoint the sick with oil, but James said this. He didn't say the oil does anything. He said the prayer of faith heals the sick. The oil don't heal the sick. Oil is no more than a sign of what you're believing that God's there to heal. That's no more than that. Then the anointing, in other words, the anointing is there. One of the things is the anointing. The Lord spoke to me years ago and said to me, he said, when you lay hands on people, he said, my anointing is always there to heal them. He said it's always there. He said, now some people receive it sometimes, or they don't receive it, but he said, it's always there. It's there. People, he said, sometimes take it or don't take it. But it's always there. See, God's always present. He's present. Faith causes God's presence to manifest. That's what it does. It manifests. Now, one of the things is we can lay hands on the sick and recover, but I want you to understand what James says. James said that the prayer of faith will heal the sick, the Lord will raise them up. Also says if a wonderful thing, if they committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. So see, even if a person got messed up and got into sin and ended up sick, they can get that straightened out right away. God's in such the healing business, and the church has promoted the sick business. You know, my God, we've given the doctors a lot of money. We tried to anyhow. But it's the health business. But James said, so the prayer of faith. So what we're going to do is pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is just simply this. See, if we're going to get in agreement, we get into agreement with God's word. Agreement, I don't want to be just in agreement on what you believe. If what you believe and I'm believing is wrong. The power is in believing what the God's word said. The prayer of faith is Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. The prayer of faith is believing you receive something. Whether you see it or feel it or anything, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're waiting to see it or feel it to believe it, there is no faith involved in that. The scripture says this in the New Testament. Why would you try to believe for what you can already see? You don't have to believe for what you already see. There's no faith to believe what you see. You know, I see you guys standing here. Don't require me any faith to look at and say, Mike is standing here. I believe Mike's standing here. That's a stupid statement. I don't have to believe Mike's standing here. Mike is standing here. I can touch him. Here he is. So see, I don't have to use any faith to believe that Mike's here. If you need faith to believe Mike's here, come here, I need to lay your hand, my hand on your empty head. We'll get that, try to get something put in there. Folks, it sounds funny, but loads of Christians are doing that stuff all the time. That's exactly what they do in call of faith. See, this is why before I pray for people, because I want us to move. This is the easiest thing to get God's power working to get a job done. Let's make it simple. Throw the religious out. Throw the crazy out. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray for Lissa. It says the elders, they pray the prayer of faith. I'm going to believe she receives her healing. I'm going to believe she has received it. She's going to believe. We're going to believe she got it. I don't believe she's going to get it. I don't believe she's going to get it. I don't believe that. I believe she has it. It belongs to her. That's a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith believes you receive it. If I receive it, it's mine. I have it. I'm not trying to get it anymore. I got it. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you, we're agreeing with her. And our agreement, then it's the same as Jesus Christ is standing here and he is agreeing with us concerning the word. I don't think you can go wrong if Jesus is in agreement with it. I think you pretty well got it made. Hallelujah. And see, I want her to have what God wants her to have. I want you, see, this is all teaching moment. This is learn this. See, if you're, many times we're praying for people, we're not praying the prayer of faith. We're trying to get God to do something. And never prayed the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is we believe we receive it. And if we believe we receive it, he says, then we'll have it. Hallelujah. It comes. We're believing what we can't see. And if I believe what I can't see that I have it, then it's going to show up into the seeing. But it'll never show up into the seeing till I believe I have it when I can't see it. If I don't believe I have it, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you this morning. Lord God, that your word is working wonderful and mightily. Hallelujah. And Father, this is a daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah. Lord, physically, she's my daughter, but she's a lot more your daughter. Hallelujah. She's a daughter of Abraham, and she's an heir according to the promise. And Lord God, it's not right that she's bound in any way. Hallelujah. Because, Lord God, you took her sin, her sickness, and whatever else, Lord God, you did it through Jesus Christ. And right now, Lord God, we're just agreeing right now. We believe she receives her healing right now in the name of Jesus. It's hers. It belongs to her right now. Healing is working in her body mightily right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. She's being made well and whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like the scripture said, she's recovering. Glory to God. She's recovering. Hallelujah. It's working in her in the name of Jesus. Yeah, there it is. It is. It is. It is. It is. And it's working in you. It's working in you. Hallelujah. 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 Working not just in your body, in your mind. It's working too. It's in working in your mind. Hallelujah. The anointing. The anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I want to thank you for healing Alyssa. Thank you so much, Lord God, for healing. We appreciate your love that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you took her infirmities and you bore her sicknesses. How much you loved her. Hallelujah. That you did all that before she ever came on the scene. Oh, what a wonderful God. Thank you for healing her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take time when you minister to people to stop and talk to them. Talk things of faith. Bring a person of faith. Quit praying. If people don't want to, hear nothing about faith, just go on and do something else. Because we're not playing games at this stuff. I want people to get. I want to make sure. It's just like here. We have the most wonderful thing here. That we have the privilege to agree. The greatest powerful anointing that can take place is when Christians can agree. And it takes time to make sure we're agreeing and to say, you just don't throw, we have the important, would you just pray for me? And bang, let's pow. And nobody's agreed to nothing. Nobody knows what, we're all just throwing it out there. We don't want to do it. Do you want prayer?
Sure.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What would you like to pray for you for?
Healed.
You'll be healed. Okay. All right. Well, what's a certain thing that you're dealing with?
Yeah, I have been having
trouble with my shoulder.
Your shoulder. Okay. All right. Hallelujah.
I need a miracle for my teeth.
Hallelujah. You need a miracle. Well, we're going to agree for a miracle. And see, that's what it is. You know, we can do that. She has concerning her teeth. She wants a miracle done. There's nothing wrong with somebody wanting that. They have problems with it. Want to see a miracle. There's things that she needs. It requires a miracle. Hallelujah. And God does miracles, don't he?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So we can agree. We can agree on that. Are we touching anything that we ask? She's a daughter of Abraham. She has a right. Jesus said himself, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus said that. Anybody adds or tries to take away anything to that, they're going to be calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. I mean, that just opens the door. Well, maybe God wants this. He said, all things are possible. Hallelujah. She's a daughter of Abraham. Jesus said, concerning the daughters of Abraham, they should not be bound. They are not going to be. Well, what she's dealing with in her mouth is bondage. That's bad. It isn't good. She needs help. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus did something about it. He did something about that 2,000 years ago. And then he was nice enough to give us the prayer of agreement, say, you guys can do anything you like to do. Just go ahead, agree with each other, whatever. I'll get in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good news. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to do two, and we're going to agree with this shoulder. Hallelujah.
My whole spinal cord.
Your whole spinal cord?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray for that first. Turn around this way here. I'm going to lay hands here on your back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God. Oh, I thank you for your healing power, Lord God, working right now in this back in the name of Jesus. Lord God, this is a daughter of Abraham. And I thank you, Lord God. Oh, as a daughter of Abraham, Lord God, it's not right that she's be bound at all. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're just going to enter into our Sabbath rest right now in the name of Jesus by faith. We believe that the healing power of God's going into her back right now in the name of Jesus, bringing about a healing, a cure. We believe she receives it in the name of Jesus. And I want to thank you. Her back is being made straight, strong. Hallelujah. Lord God, any of those, whatever it is with nerves or connective tissue or whatever, Lord, I don't know. I haven't seen any kind of pictures of it. Lord God, I want to thank you, but you have. And you know what's in there. It needs to be fixed and worked. And I want to thank you. It's being worked on and fixed right now by the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we believe we receive it. Therefore, she will have it. In the name of Jesus, it's hers. It's hers in the name of Jesus. It's hers in the name of Jesus. I thank you. The anointing's working in her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Move around a little bit and see how that's working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have had trouble since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
But recently, it's right in, but right where your
head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's just.
Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, we take authority right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, over this pain right now. In this area, in Jesus' name. Lord God, you know what's causing that pain. Hallelujah. And so I want to thank you, Jesus. You're the great doctor. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power and your glory that's working in her right now. Hallelujah. We've laid hands on the sick. Then she must recover in the name of Jesus. There must be a recovery. Hallelujah. Or you would have lied, and that's an impossibility. Hallelujah. You're working. You're working mightily in her. You're working mightily in her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for working in her. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for taking care of that. I just appreciate your love for her, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, our faith's a working in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we want to agree with you concerning your teeth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know, there is, if you go back to during Azusa Street and that stuff, they had a lot of miracles in that way. People's teeth and that stuff, teeth problems and all kind of things. People got new sets of teeth, you know. So God's in the business of doing that kind of stuff. And it's one of the things of it is, one of the reasons we don't see much of this kind of stuff happen today is because people don't pray for or believe for stuff like this to happen. One of the things that I found out over the years the more that you minister to certain things in certain areas, then the more results you start to see. Most people don't, things that aren't ministered to. And what happens is over time, as we minister in these areas, we more, like, is one of the things, is just like the prayer of agreement. If you've noticed over the last couple of years, I've really been emphasizing that. Is one of the things, the more we teach about it, we talk about it, our faith level rises. The more we practice, our faith level rises in it. And you need to do that. If it's not done, you're not just going to, off of a whim of time, getting these things to work. We slowly talk about it. And over time, the more we get an agreement, the more we start to do it, the more power is involved in it. Every time we hear it taught, every time we hear it talked about, faith comes. More we get over in the area. Then we begin to practice it and do it. That's one of the important things is to do, is practicing and doing it. And it's one of the things, is like most people are looking for, you know, a great revival to start. It's just instantaneous, snap your fingers, and it, just healing is just going to start down the line. It doesn't usually come like that. People will start ministering in that area and ministering in that area, start focusing in the Word in that area, and then things will start to happen. Things will start to do it. But we must enter it by faith. That's where we start off. We enter it by faith. Most people want God to do something, then I'll go into it. That isn't the way it works. Hallelujah. So we're standing here in faith in this. Thank God. I want to see working of miracles take place. I want to see gifts of healings that take place. But right now, if that doesn't demonstrate, one thing we have our faith that we can stand in the prayer of agreement. We have that. That one belongs to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're just agreeing. Hallelujah. Number one, I can't fix her mouth. I can't fix her teeth. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. So I'm not going to believe I'm going to do it. Okay? You don't have to believe you're going to do it either. Hallelujah. What we're going to believe is God will do it through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what we're believing. See, I don't have to believe I can do it. I'll tell you, I can't do it. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us I couldn't heal a gnat's eyeball. So I can't do that. But I can believe God can do it, and you can too. You can too. Hallelujah. All things are possible to him that believes. And we, that just, you know, he said to him that believes, well, man, we got a crowd to believe, don't we? Hallelujah. Give me your hands there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord God, as we pray again for our sister here, Lord God, concerning her teeth. Father, you're the God of miracles. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. We're standing with you in this. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're the great fixer. You're the creator of the body. If anybody fixes it, you sure know how to fix it. You know how to repair it. You know how to do those things. And so we're just standing in faith with you today. We believe, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you're fixing our sister's teeth. Hallelujah. We're believing for the miraculous, a miracle, Lord God. She needs a miracle. She's going after a miracle, Lord God. And we're going to go after it with her. Hallelujah. We believe that a miracle is taking place in her mouth in the name of Jesus. It's a happening. It's a working. Hallelujah. It's going on right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, the infirmities and things that have taken place, Lord God, over the past years, and even, Lord God, things from childhood, we rebuke them. Devil, I command you in the name of your Jesus to get your hands off my sister in Jesus' name. I command you to cease and desist in the operations you've done against her in Jesus' name. And I declare her free in the name of Jesus. Whole and sound in Jesus' name. And you get out right now and leave, and don't you return in the name of Jesus. She's free. She's free. She's free in Jesus' name. She's free in Jesus' name. She's free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be free from your infirmities in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your protection over her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're taking care of her. Hallelujah. Looking after her, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 That power is broken. The things that, many things that you're dealing with now are things from your childhood. And they ain't bad thoughts in childhood. It's demonic powers from your childhood. They were allowed to operate as a child. You didn't know nothing about dealing with it. And nobody ever did anything to get you free of it. You think you've just been dealing with problems. You ain't been messed up. It's that devil's been messed up. It's been doing things to you, trying to make you feel guilty. It's been your fault. It ain't been your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. Hallelujah. You ain't weird. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Resist the devil. He tries to bring anything back to you. You just throw it on him. You're a daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with you. Those things of fears and anxieties that try to come on you, they don't belong to you. They're not yours. Hallelujah. He has no right to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Glory to God, you're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God wants you to have peace in your mind. Hallelujah. Peace in your mind in the name of Jesus. Peace in this mind, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, I rebuke thoughts that come to this mind in the name of Jesus. Satan, I bind you in your words that you bring against her mind. Hallelujah. Her mind is free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She's thinking good thoughts. Hallelujah. Wholesome thoughts. Healthy thoughts. Hallelujah. Oh, thoughts are developing and growing and walking in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A life of peace. A life of joy. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. It belongs to her. It's hers. Hallelujah. By covenant in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just walk in it, sister. Hallelujah. It belongs to you. Hallelujah. You know, there's a thing we need to understand. Many times people are putting up with things, and if we don't realize that we're dealing with demonic stuff, and if Satan comes against us, there's many things. It's like myself, a lot of things from my life came from my childhood. And they were spirits. See, a lot of people say, well, my parents did this. And parents. You know, you go ahead and go live in that place and you'll end up worse off than what you were. There's demon things. See, my parents didn't know about a lot of stuff. They weren't taught, they weren't trained in it. But there was demons that caused problems. See, it's one of the things is I realized, it's like with me, I fought that thing of that demon concerning when I got born again, concerning my mind. That wasn't just from a drinking and stuff, alcohol thing. That was because there was an oppressive spirit that was on me. And I had to get free from that oppression. I needed free from that oppression. And my parents didn't know my mind. Loads of people out here, they say have learning disabilities. They don't have disabilities. See, we go around and repeating all this nonsense and don't ever listen in the spirit to find out what we're dealing with. You know? My learning disability left me quickly when I got free from that demon. It was oppressing me. And see, this is why you got to get over in the spirit about things. You just can't deal with everything in the natural. And loads of people, they grow in their entire lifetime. It's just like out of our family. You know, it's just like with when the thing with Alyssa when she was a child. I realized and knew that what she was dealing with, that spirit, that familiar spirit that I had gotten rid of, was trying to come and visit her. That's why parents, you need to wake up. Your children, the devil will try to come kill, steal, and destroy. And he does all kinds of things. You need to be able to identify what's happening and what's going on. And sometimes people, things, you know, they get over into and get messed up. There's demonic problems. Now, sometimes people yield to them. But especially when your children are young, you know, and they're under your authority, you need to understand these things and do it. You know, it's just like if I'd have been born and raised in a family that understood those things, I wouldn't have had to go through the years of my life. Now, I ain't knocking my parents, but they didn't know. They weren't taught. And most of the church world ain't taught today. We're taught nothing but psychology. The church today is psychology. Most of the preaching is psychology, psychological. It's not spiritual. We use scriptures, but we translate them into psychology. And so people can be free. And you need to understand. You need to understand when you're under oppression. You need to understand when you're being oppressed of the devil. You know, some people say, well, I'm moody. Well, get rid of that moody devil. Amen.